It's your daily sports dump. And I'm your host, Joe Canelli. That's right, folks. It's me, your host, Joe Canelli. This is your daily sports dump for today, Wednesday, April 15th. Happy Tax Day. Formerly, they moved it. But happy Jackie Robinson Day. Now and forever. They didn't move that. Okay. We're going to go right to our special guest today, an old friend of mine, knew him in Chicago, worked at him at the Second City, worked at him with him a little bit for the Joliet Jackhammers, and this and at also at ESPN Chicago, also with the group Uncle's Brother with Tim Meadows and Brad and I. So please welcome Brad Morris as we talk about how shitty the Bulls are and the upcoming Michael Jordan documentary. And a couple other things. All right, we'll be back with regular segments tomorrow, but until then, enjoy. All right, and we are here, and I'm welcoming my longtime friend and sports compatriot, Brad Morris. Brad, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you, Joe.
Great. This is as close as we can be right now.
Yeah, it's 6 feet. you know, I would keep those standards even if we were in person, I think.
I think that's probably a good thing. I was saying on my other podcast that the days of passing a joint around might be gone. They may have to just go to like small joints now or individual joints, I guess.
I think now we're definitely in the age of everyone's got their own joint. Maybe there's going to be an uptick in, little joint, individual joint cases.
Yes.
Things like that to keep your stuff. Or maybe we still pass the joint around, but we all have like little, fake Rolling Stone.
Yes. Wax lips. Sure.
Maybe we just all. Yeah, we all have, like, lip condoms.
Very innovative. That's the second innovative. That's the second time I've called you innovative today. What was the other thing you did?
I don't remember what the first one was, but I'll take it.
It was a tweet. So, it was some tweet of something that you did. And I was like, oh, innovative.
I'm going to have to review later, but I appreciate any support that you give me on Twitter or in real life. And
is there a difference?
No, I guess not, especially not right now. It's pretty...
it is.
You know, I'm just sad that we're not in Italy. It would be so much more romantic to all live in, like, some 600-year-old apartment buildings and be breaking out our little bassoons and...
I don't know if you saw my slide whistle bit.
Your slide whistle bit is fantastic, and I think I did tweet... It's very fitting because it caught fire. You went viral, Joe.
That was my most viral thing during a virus. In fact, what a time.
I just think it's very fitting. Very fitting.
Oh, that's right.
The world at large.
Yeah, that's right.
Learns of you during and because of a pandemic.
We always remember our own tweets, but not what they were in reference to. Yes, that is familiar.
Yeah.
That rings familiar. That was your response, I think.
I
apologize to the listeners if his levels are changing. I'm just trying to move the phone around for the best sound. You're doing great though.
Okay, I'm doing the best I can. Yeah, I don't have the best I can would be if I had like AirPods. Do I think I just lost them or do I think that I needed to buy them? I'm sure Apple makes you buy them separately. I don't really know.
Well, you don't.
I just know that I.
Wait, yeah. do you have AirPods?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Get them.
I don't. No, yeah. I mean, they make you buy everything. I mean,
they give you the ones with the cord.
Well, I've got the ones with the cord, but then I've got a phone that, of course, doesn't allow. There's no hole for the cord to go into.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Right.
So. Anyway, this is exciting. This is the kind of riveting talk that I'm sure your listeners are.
Listener. This is actually my subscriber drive. I'm just trying to get you to subscribe by doing a 25-minute interview with you.
And do I not subscribe? Do
I don't
I not
know.
Subscribe? This should be. This
I don't
be
know.
The same. This is the same to me as knowing whether or not I have AirPods.
Right. Exactly. I don't expect you necessarily to know what podcast you subscribe to. Uh oh.
I don't.
I thought you hung up.
I've mentioned this to other people. I do not subscribe to podcasts as a rule because it keeps it very easy for me to when someone says, you
especially
know,
when 75% of your friends probably have a podcast.
Well, I mean,
I know what you mean.
Yeah. Well, it just becomes, yeah. I mean, you know, and I used to say I don't watch TV because I really didn't. And then now suddenly I guess I'm watching a lot all of a sudden, but you know, the stuff I watch is not the cool stuff that everyone's telling you to. Although I did watch, you know, The Requisite, you know, Tiger King and
sure.
all that kind of stuff. But
did I
yeah,
mention
I mean,
to you,
you know that you're not young and cutting edge when you talk to your dad on the phone and realize that both of you have recently been binging Billions.
Oh dear. And your dad, my father is, of course, you know, just a slightly older version of me, by which I mean he's much older, but only acts slightly older, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, you and I have that in common.
Yeah, we're right. And we're accelerating towards what they are. But luckily, they are there to whatever it is, cast a shadow for us to look at, give a reflection for us to see and go, OK. Although I have to say, your father, that was one of the most... Today we'd be kicked out. We literally would be kicked out of the park today. Just a few years ago, that was one of the most fun baseball games I ever went to. There were women making out in front of us, right?
Yep. Yeah,
he was very.
I think he's given you a little bit of a show, but not much more than he would normally.
Oh yeah, yeah, I get it. But that's what I want. That's what we all want from each other's dads is a show.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you've got a dad who kind of acts like Balding from Caddyshack,
yes,
and Coke,
oh, that's hilarious.
That's pretty much that with a more twisted, ironic.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Well, if we could go on and on about things like that, but you actually have a purpose.
Yeah.
And this is honestly, Brad, one of the very few times in these weeks ahead that there are, you know, these would be actual news stories. There's two things. Obviously, the Bulls shake up, and you're a Bulls fan long time. I mean, you're born and raised in Chicago. And then the Michael Jordan thing that's coming out. Which, of course, they're pushing up to the front, and already you're seeing, you know, who belongs in Jordan's realm of the greatest of all time, and this thing is going to be crazy. And both of them would be news stories, even with sports going on, and they both have to do with Chicago, so it's perfect timing. What do you think about the Bulls, first of all, finally moving the pieces around one more time, but maybe in a different way this time?
You know, I'm excited about what the Bulls did in the way that you're excited when, you know, when someone is an alcoholic forever, you're not getting picky about whatever the drug is they decide to start doing. You're just happy that they're not drinking anymore. So there's a little bit of that.
Uncle Jimmy had some powder on his nose, but at least he came to Emily's birthday party.
Yeah, exactly. He was super, super alert. He wasn't stinky. We could all understand what he's saying, but he had a lot more to say.
Yeah, right.
No, I mean, look, you know, the more I get into it, look, to me, the issue with that team for the last, you know, 15 years is, you know, you had those amazing runs and six rings. And obviously, you know, you don't do any of those literally without Jordan there. But then you have to figure out a way to rebrand. And I thought that the best version of the packs, and, you know, they call it Gar Packs, which
right.
I think is all of this is very, very much unfair. I mean, Gar Foreman for 15 years was the equivalent of Dusty Baker's son sitting on his lap at that
right.
press conference after
right.
after the Giants blew that, you know, World Series. But it's like, you know, it should have just been called, you know, like tax, you know, Paxson Packs, because it's just, you know, Paxson's the one who you know, was making all the calling the shots. He's
right.
the one who you know, who strangled Vinny Del Negro by his tie. And he's the one who, you know, you can have those guys out in front and create a structure where, you know, you say, well, Gar wasn't a good, you know, drafter. It's like, they don't draft anyone without Paxson saying yes or no. And Paxson was the perfect, you know, Reinsdorf does this thing where they are very old school in the way that they put a lot of stock in people high up in their organization having been ex-players,
yep.
right? So,
and ex-Bulls so players, seemingly.
Yeah, no. I'm sorry. Yes. Specifically, at least until Arturas Karnisovas.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was, you know, absolutely. Pax and Doug Collins is, you know, somewhere near a copier, you know,
right.
drinking coffee. It's, they make it sound like, BJ Armstrong before he was an
yeah.
agent was there. They go through these guys, and in some ways it's sort of, you know, it's very wholesome and Midwestern, and you love to know that your team's going to support you forever. But at the same time, like, you know, that team got us used to winning. And then the most exciting product they put on the floor was, once again, not the via the drafting acumen of Gar Pax, but ultimately from a bouncing ball landing and giving you Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
Who then, you know, you had Derrick Rose and a bunch of just hardcore defenders that bought into Thibodeau's schematics, and that was exciting for, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
if Rose doesn't get hurt and a couple other, I just wish the guy would have, and we had this argument before. This is going to be sportsier than I meant, but that's totally fine with me. Like, god damn, what's his name, the coach, he just ground those guys into the dirt. Like, he just
Thibodeau,
he played his starters
yeah.
so much. And every
yeah,
single
yeah.
one of them broke down the same way. Like,
yeah, he's
like
he's
so stubborn.
Again, he
did it in Minnesota too.
He's the Dusty Baker of
yes.
basketball once again.
Yes, that's
but,
a great,
but,
great, great.
Yeah,
analogy.
You know, Tibbs. By the way, Tibbs is they say is in line for an opening
mm-hmm.
this next slot. So
hope it's
you
not
know,
the Knicks.
And the Bulls, don't forget, the Bulls don't have, here's what I like about their new hire. I like that the guy immediately fired Gar.
Yes.
That maybe Paxson, maybe they really are waking up to the fact that they're 20 years behind the league in terms of not just like player development, but also like scouting, analytics, like they've got none of that stuff. So, and then I like,
it's just such a mom and pop operation. All of his, the Reinsdorfs are so mom and pop.
How did he
make his money before the Bulls and the White Sox?
I want to say real estate or something,
okay.
But you know, I was reading something recently, and that ownership group, you know, like the threshold to be considered a majority controlling, managing owner in the NBA is like 12%. Like,
yeah.
He doesn't own like more than 50% of that team. He doesn't even own
right.
13%. But he, you know, so he's the guy out in front, but there's probably some guys behind him that own as much or more of that.
That no
team.
One even
but,
knows who they are.
But it's very mom and pop. It's very, you know, you might as well be the Rooneys, you know.
Uh-huh.
There's a few differences.
There are.
But they you know, his son Michael runs the Bulls. There's supposed to be autonomy there. You know, I think it's just as upsetting that if there is any autonomy, that this kid is so genetically a match to his father that he's got all the same bad instincts. Because
yeah.
you know, if you even use the, I mean, yeah, we're getting really deep
yeah,
into the
yeah.
minutiae.
The Reinsdorf
weeds. But I would just say this: I'm excited about look, I've been ready for a new day with this team. I'm willing to give them, you know, a couple of years to see if he can untangle some of the mess. There are some pieces on that team that are potentially exciting. I think this, I mean, look, he needs to can this coach immediately.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's another, like, oh, what a, yeah.
This guy's a lunkhead. I mean, he literally seems like a guy that, you know, you would pick out of a casting call for a high school coach from Indiana, you know, in 1989.
Who has a career record of like 520 percentage, and he thinks he's Bobby Knight.
Not one of the good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I like the Karnisovas. You know, he's part of that, let's not forget, he's part of that first Lithuanian team that wore the tie-dyed
I just mentioned them yesterday.
Shirts.
I mentioned them on my 420 thing of 420 tips and stuff. I told the story of the Grateful Dead sponsoring them, and it's incredible.
That's it.
That team.
That's it. And
for the starters. Yes, go on.
He played at Seton Hall. I remember him at Seton Hall, and I remember him on that team.
They played the Dream Team.
He's a very good player. Played against the Dream Team. I'm rooting for him. I like him. He comes from Denver, and I think the team that he's responsible in large part for putting together they play a fun brand of basketball. They play both ends of the floor.
And everybody on that team is talented. He's got a lot of talent on that team.
They all can kind of switch and play multiple positions and guard different people and they move the ball around, for God's sakes. I mean,
Do you remember those teams, those Illinois teams with Kendall, was it Kendall Gill, Marcus Liberty?
Come on.
Kenny Battle.
Steven Bardo.
Bardo, yes.
Kenny Battle.
That team was so ahead of its time, except for shooting threes. But those guys were all like 6'8" ball handling wings. Who did it all, but the game wasn't ready for that.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah.
All right, well, that was so much. That's amazing that I didn't even know that guy was on that Lithuanian team. And they got to beat Russia. They got to play Russia in the bronze medal game.
He is a Soviet-born guy who is Lithuanian.
Yep.
And I mean, it's pretty amazing stuff. I like that.
That team had the Lithuanian guys, four of the starters on the Russian team that then became Lithuania were actually all from the same town. Like these four kids had grown. It was like some generation of players, you know, like the Fab Five.
Yeah. Sharonis Marshallonis.
Yes. Yes.
Was on that team. He's a great player.
Absolutely. Now, you know, just now I'm thinking about this because I wanted to talk about the Knicks and the Bulls both being horrible. And it also made me think of Cleveland. And really, basketball, the Knicks are Cleveland without LeBron and the Bulls without Jordan. Or maybe the Bulls without Rose, but they didn't go all the way with Rose. In that, and the Bulls were not as poorly run when Jerry Krause was there. To be fair to him, they put the right pieces around Jordan, shooters, rebounders, defenders.
I think Krause was a done deal. He was a much better GM than Paxson.
Much better, much better. So actually, as I make that comparison, Cleveland's probably better. Where basically it's LeBron.
By the way, it's always, you know, is it easier or harder to find the complementary pieces around a Hall of Fame player anchor for your squad, or is it harder to like figure out how to build from scratch when you're not getting the number one or two picks in drafts over and over again?
Well, in basketball, it's so important too to have that number one guy.
It is, but I also think just as importantly is the ability to figure out, like, you know, you have to be prepared in a 5-year window. Even if your goal is to be bad for a couple of years in order to start to stockpile picks, you have to be prepared for the possibility that you're going to get the 7 pick instead of the 1 or the 2.
Yeah.
And then figure out how to create a brand of ball that's going to make it exciting and take some, you know, you might even have to go get a coach that people are like super excited to play for. Like, they've done nothing. Like, no one's dying to come to Chicago.
Or New York.
Well, right. But, I mean, look, those are cities where this is a sport that's played, you know, the meat of the season is played in the winter, you know. And yep. You have that. And you've got really tough fan bases that have, you know, old legacies. You've got ownership.
What legacy do the Knicks have?
Well, by the way, also these agents don't want to deal with owners that are not modernized in the way
that they
look at everything.
That
and,
is,
you know,
yes.
All that stuff.
That's the problem. That is the issue with the Knicks is, you know, he wants guys who are going to go see his blues band.
Dolan tested positive for COVID and for being terrible at blues.
He has the COVID-19 blues, and he can't even play them.
Why is it that the one genre of music that, like, the poorest, you know, the poorest old black men and the richest old white men both play?
Well, because it makes perfect
crazy
sense to me. Because they probably made a lot of their money exploiting minorities,
so
they just want to appropriate it completely.
That's giving them. I feel like that's giving James Dolan more credit in terms of that. That's almost
thinking
like
why
some kind of some forethought.
You're
some,
right.
Some yeah. He's one of the worst. I mean, I have to say, like, the Knicks to me, you know, the Knicks should be good, and when your way of being good is going after even like Phil Jackson. Like, the Knicks made Phil Jackson look like he didn't have a clue what he was doing.
Larry Brown. Never mind.
Well, but you know, here's a good example. Patrick Ewing was a great player. I mean, he was a great player at a time when that type of player was always like could be featured as a focal point in an offense. You
sure.
know? Like the game has changed. But you know, you gotta like Carmelo Anthony been holding the ball long. Same thing goes for Chris Paul. I tell people about this all the time. Chris Paul would have been amazing in that era in the 90s, right? When there was a lot of ISO and a lot of like, you know, pick and roll. And
so much better than Derek Harper for the Knicks.
Oh, my God. Imagine Chris Paul. Chris Paul, I would say this. Chris Paul on those teams with Ewing in the 90s, I think that team wins a ring or two.
Oh, definitely, because he could get the ball to Ewing.
Absolutely.
He had what's-his-name scoring. He had, you know, DeAndre Jordan scoring 18, 19 a game, and Ewing's game is far more advanced than DeAndre Jordan would ever be from an offensive standpoint.
Well, DeAndre Jordan's got no offensive skill set at all. I just, you know, I mean, he can go get it if you throw it up. But
right.
No, it's crazy, man. It's really.
You're right. He is not in the ideal time for him.
No, he's from a different era. I would have paid a lot of money, or I would pay a lot of money, whatever I'm trying to say, to see Chris Paul face off against John Stockton, because I think that they have a lot of similarities.
Oh, definitely.
Not just in terms of their style of play and their skill set, but more importantly, they're both just assholes.
Absolute,
you know,
assholes.
I mean?
Assholes who you know, if they win, they're both revered. Now, they're both Hall of Fame without it, but the asshole thing sticks with them a little even more. I don't think Isaiah Thomas wasn't an asshole, but he won a couple titles,
it's
different.
Let me say this, and I know that they're both guys played at times when there were, you know, obstacles and other teams and players that were standing in their way. But, you know, I don't know, man. Like, I mean, Chris Paul has been the alpha on his team a couple times and almost demands that of a situation, whereas Stockton always had Malone kind of, you know, to be out in front, although I think Stockton was the engine of that team. But
definitely. But he defensively was more important to the team than
I think Chris Paul my theory is that Chris Paul is just an absolute, on top of being stylistically mismatched for his time, I think he's also a terrible leader. I really do. I think he's like,
he's a bad leader for the time too. Maybe his kind of leadership would work more.
I think you're right. I think he's like got all the things that Kobe and Jordan had in terms of being uber demanding of their teammates without any of the ability to. At the end of the day, Chris Paul, you knew come playoff time in a 7-game series that he was going to A, demand to be the one taking the last shot, and B, and this is the most important thing, you would know the 3-foot by 3-foot spot that last shot would be taken from.
Right.
So that's a really bad place to be. You know, it's a elbow extended. You could do a lot of fancy dribbles to get there, whether it's a step back or you're stepping into it or you're using a screen, he's going to be shooting it from that spot. And, you know, coaches tend to look at tape and figure that stuff out. So
yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that guy.
Okay. Well, I mean, you certainly could make, you can make a good case there, and you have, because
I made it.
You made
That's what I can make. I mean, I'd like to make the case that he's also, a big Trump supporter, but I don't have anything to support that. You know.
Well, that's but just
I'd
unnecessary.
I'd love it if he were, because it would help me, you know, build. But he's, you know, I mean, you know, I know you're talking about this Jordan documentary, which
oh right.
You know, I mean, thank God it's.
It's saving us.
I'm excited about it.
When is it coming out?
Yeah.
I'm surprised they're having
it come. Sunday, I think.
I'm surprised they're having it come out before the draft.
This Sunday, I think they do episodes 1 and 2.
Oh right.
Maybe.
And it's 10 parts. And it's just on the season. It's just on the last season.
My understanding is that it is kind of flips back and forth. It follows them through that 97-98 season.
I hope it's got to go back a little bit revisit everybody, you know?
It starts there, but then it goes back. I think the first couple episodes go like him in high school.
Oh, good. College, yeah, they're going to do – they'll do the profile on him, the profile on Phil.
Yeah.
You'll get a half episode on Scotty and Rodman, because we've already seen the Rodman 30 for 30.
I'm going to be disappointed if there aren't 3 full episodes on how Jordan's gambling debts were the reason that his father got murdered.
Do you feel like that is a true conspiracy theory?
No, I don't. I don't think that's what happened.
Okay.
I mean, look, you have to keep in mind that theory would hold a lot more water if we weren't talking about a black guy driving through North Carolina in the middle of the night, which unfortunately has a history of having 2 white guys.
Occam's razor.
Yeah.
Definitely
exactly.
Points to that. All right. Well, Occam's razor go ahead.
No, I was just going to give you a compliment for dropping an Occam's razor reference into your, but as a subscriber to your podcast, I know that that's something you say almost every episode.
Once a week, we have the Occam's razor segment.
Oh, man.
well, here's what you do need to do. I think you probably do follow the Sports Dump on Twitter. But for this draft thing, I know the Bears don't have a pick, but I still want you to call in at some point onto the Twitter draft. I'm going to be dressed as Mel Kiper Jr. because my hairline is rapidly.
You've always been.
He has the same glasses as me now, though. Or we've just like our Venn diagrams have crossed.
He's been trying to be. He's been biting your style for years now.
Well, this is the year I take some a little bit back from him.
Well, I think now's the time. I would just love to see you wage all out warfare against Mel Kiper Jr. On social media, and you know, like
every pick he gets wrong, be like, oh, there's another one wrong for Kiper.
0-7.
Yeah, I would just paint a scenario where like you fully had your identity stolen by him. You know, like just go full. You know, like this guy.
His legend is so well told, though. It'd be tough.
Yeah, but now's the time. Just say you've been in a coma for 30 years.
Nobody can prove anything. Like, we're all in our houses.
Exactly.
Is Mel going to be in his house? He is.
I don't know. It's a great question. Everyone's home. I mean, like, where are all these guys right now? Like, Scott Van Pelt and Paul Feinbaum are the only guys that they show on ESPN.
It's true.
I don't know. Yeah.
Does Van Pelt sleep at ESPN?
I have no idea. Does he live in the studio? And then also, like, is Neil Everett just like Scrooge McDucking into a pool of marijuana buds?
He is.
Like, what's happening right now?
That's why I want to get in on the ESPN LA train, because it seems like, yeah, they kind of welcome that kind of... They're into more of a jockey stonerness, but it's all right.
Yeah, but he's definitely stoned all the time.
Yeah, seemingly.
I need to get some hard verification on that, but I'm all for it. I think he's great.
Yeah.
Bob Lee still alive?
No, he died recently. All right, this is a sign. Maybe. If we're talking about Bob Lee, we don't... The other Occam's razor thing I was going to say is we've probably gone plenty long enough. We're at a half hour here.
All right, well then we did it.
Oh, we did it. We did it so good. And we didn't even really get into the Jordan thing, but that's fine because I think we might be inside for another 7 months, so I'll bring you back at the end of the Jordan thing, and
yeah,
we'll talk about that.
Yeah, you can bring me back, and we'll cover the real story behind how Mel Kiper Jr. stole your identity.
All right, I like where this is going.
Yeah, I think there's a whole story to be told.
Now, I suspect at some point, the longer we're in this whole thing, you're going to have an afro at the end of this. Is my guess. I'm just putting it out there right now,
man.
Brad, because you know that if you could go to the afro, you're going to let it go to that.
I would be, yeah, look, if I get full hair regrowth, you can be sure I'm going to let it fly.
Let it go.
It's that, and it's also the success, apparently, of this show, Dave on FX, with that rapper, Little Dicky.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's really letting the Jufro fly, so.
Speaking of the Jufro, the other day I saw I don't think I said this, but you were telling me what you were watching on TV, and I saw your episode of the goddamn Office. The Office. They must have shot more of that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They must have shot a bunch more of that.
I saw it popped up recently. I was rewatching some of The Office, and I love that show, and...
Who's the woman who played the old woman with you? Is she a Second City?
Georgia Engel. She was not Second City.
She was on Newhart.
She might as well have been. She was like a sitcom royalty.
Yes.
Over the years, and she was on Rhoda.
Right.
Mary Tyler Moore.
Mary Tyler Moore. That's what it was. Yes.
I'll tell you one quick great thing about Georgia. I met her. She talked to Dad in real life.
Yes, yes.
Which was amazing. she actually passed away like a couple of years ago.
Oh, no. Well, she missed all this at least.
Younger than she did. She saw coronavirus coming and she said, fuck this. So, but she was great. I got to work with her for a few days and she was so sweet to me and to Ellie Kemper. And at some point can I get your information? I would love to stay connected with you. And I was like, yeah, of
you
course.
Do a great impression
then,
of her.
Thanks so much. And then like a week and a half later, I got an email from her and she's like, would it be okay? Would you like to have lunch with me?
Oh,
and
no. Was she sending you dirty pictures eventually?
No, she actually said, would your wife be okay with that? And I was like, I don't know what you have in mind, Georgia. But,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Does Ruby know about this?
I had lunch with her at the CPK in Ventura in the Valley.
Oh.
And she's like, I don't know about you, but I'm definitely getting an ice cream sundae. and we had ice cream sundaes. We talked about the biz. It's easily my most favorite.
Oh, my God.
Maybe,
what a cool.
Yes, it's my most favorite showbiz story.
That's cool.
Honestly, there was probably some little part of me that knew. Ellie, of course, couldn't make it, so it was just bound to be a just date
with
me in Georgia. But yeah, I mean, maybe there was some part of me that knew I'm never going to see this person again.
Wow.
As we parted ways that day. But that was sad. She was funny as hell too.
I'm sure.
Super funny. Yeah.
That's like, but you may not have. You never thought you would have seen her the one time after. You know.
Nothing funnier. Very few things funnier, as you know, than a very meek person getting angry.
Oh yes.
So yeah, and in fact, that's always been one of your big turn-ons, I know, sexually. So,
just it doesn't have to be a meek person, really. The anger's the more important
part. Ironically, you only ended up marrying very strong women. So
sure, but they're quiet, yeah. And you do have to draw the anger out of them sometimes. I don't anymore.
Yeah, no, I know. You've told me.
Yeah.
But yeah, Georgia was great, and yeah, I did have a good pro going. I also, you know, I think that was close enough to my coming from Chicago to hear that I still had some of my Chicago beer and nacho weight on, which is exciting.
You did have some baby weight then.
Yeah. So that was all. Yeah, it's weird, but nice to be nostalgic and
good
also
times.
Think of days when I I had a job.
Jobs, yeah. Well, you know, all the jobs will be inside now. So just do yourself a sitcom in the house. And,
I just walk around the neighborhood now wearing my mask. In fact, tonight we took a walk. We walked the dog, and I'm wearing a red bandana as my COVID mask. And a woman in the nicer streets, you know, a little bit away from us, crossed the street with her dog. Which I assumed was just, you know, just the COVID precaution. And then she goes, I'm moving across the street. You're scaring me. And I said, I'm scaring you. She goes, yeah, but I guess I would be able to pick you out of a lineup because you're wearing yellow shoes. And I was like, okay. And then I thought to myself, this is like a gang thing. She thinks I'm like a gang member because I'm wearing like a red bandana or something.
I have a red bandana. That's what I wear too. Well, I wonder.
I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, I know. Well, all right, we have to end this right now. I was going to say off the bandana thing. Why don't people rob banks right now? You're not seeing any of that. You could easily walk into a bank right now. I walked in with a mask. And I said to the guy, I was like, feels weird to walk in here with a mask. He's like, yeah, I know. It'd be so easy.
Yeah, those guys. Well, I mean, yeah, here's your opportunity, man. You know, the thing is, you do it. No, I don't feel like it.
Fine.
I'm good. I've been like ordering groceries from some weird site. I don't even leave.
Nice.
That's smart, man.
Stay there.
I'm right here. By the way, I know we've gone long, but I want to pitch this to you.
Go ahead.
I say you just rip up three little pieces of paper that say 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you pull a number. And if you pull number 2, you just cut minutes 20 through 30, and you don't even
you just
worry
let
about
it go?
Sewing anything together. Just let it go, man. That's it.
Well, and then if this part is in here, people will know. That's good. They'll know that part got cut. Well, I'll consider it. I definitely am not going to re-listen to it, so who knows?
Well, obviously, I would hate that for you.
All right, well...
If anyone listens all the way to the end for this thing, I will buy them a beer the next time I see them.
There you go. And here's one other thing I have to tell you to do. Give me your guess as the last pick of the draft on Twitter. You might win a prize. You won't, because you're ineligible.
Okay, done.
But last pick of the draft. All right. On the sports dump one. All right, later. We'll be right back.